This is Xane Anderson, and welcome to another episode of the Principal Podcast. I'm thrilled today to have Robert Bortons with us. Robert Bortons is one of the best leaders of the homeschooling movement. He's the CEO and founder of his company, Classical Conversations. And I'm just grateful to have you here. Robert, thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk about parenting and being a good father and running a business and homeschooling or whatever we want to talk about.
I love this. Tell us a little bit about you. I mean, someone who's homeschooled and been involved in the classical conversations, which classical, excuse me, I'm having a problem saying your name here on your business, classical conversations model. Tell us a little bit about how you got into classical conversations, how you were homeschooled, and how that shaped your journey right now.
I was homeschooled through high school, and this was in the 80s and 90s. And in 1997, my mom wanted to continue homeschooling, but wanted to have a group of people together to do things like debate and mock trial and talk through history and just like have a peer network of students that are learning the same things and having a conversation about it. So in 1997, my mom started Classical Conversations in our basement. I was one of the first 11 students, and everyone enjoyed it and wanted to do it a second year, and they had younger siblings. So my mom kind of gave the curriculum she put together to another mom, and the business started to grow from there. I went to university at Clemson. Go Tigers. Studied industrial engineering there. About after my sophomore year or during my sophomore year, my mom called me and told me that my dad had quit his job and I was going to have to figure out how to pay for school myself because they weren't going to be helping out anymore because she was going to try to make Classical Conversations a real business. And she accomplished that, and I ended up graduating, but it took me a little while because I would go to school a semester and work a semester in order to keep my bills down and my student loans down. But yeah, I worked for a couple Fortune 50 companies, worked for a manufacturing company, and then in 2012, Classical Conversations had grown to about 40,000 students in 40 states, and my mom asked me if I would come help her run the organization. At that time, there was maybe about 30 employees. And today, we have about 130, 135,000 students around the world. We're in 60 countries, have 170 employees, give or take. And then I have three kids now, all of which were in Classical Conversations. They're 11, 9, and 5. So we don't just talk the talk. We also try to walk the walk the best we can here at CC.
Wow. So that's amazing. And I understand that you're the world's largest classical homeschooling organization. Is that correct?
Yeah, so we're on 60 countries on every single continent but Antarctica, although I did hear one of our students went down there and put like a CC flag down there. So I guess we have presence everywhere. And yeah, we have over 2,200 communities here in the United States, and we have 800 communities worldwide. And the difference between Classical Conversations and other homeschool programs is we form groups that get together once a week with trained tutors, and they go over the curriculum with you and your child, and they're there to support the parents and help the children have these dialectic discussions on different topics and learn public speaking and go through the six subjects together as a team.
I love that. Let me ask you a question. I know I've homeschooled my children. You've homeschooled your children. I think one of the main things that parents who may be listening to this podcast, one of their main concerns is, can I really do this? I think there's an anxiety about if I pull my kids out of school and I'm got to be responsible for their education. There's a little bit of anxiety. At least I saw that in my wife when we decided to homeschool at one point. What would you tell those parents?
Yeah, I mean, it's very common, so I don't want to downplay it, but did anybody have a degree in teaching your kid to walk? Anybody have a degree in teaching your kid to talk? I mean, those are very complicated things for a human to learn, and you were able to do it just by loving them and really just following what what really is the classical model of learning. And so at Classical Conversations, we have like 1 day summer boot camps that are free for parents to teach them how to educate their kids. That's part of the reasons that we have these communities is you're the one benefiting from it. Of course, your students are having a great time and learning, but you're actually there on campus with them, learning alongside them, seeing those teaching techniques. And the nice thing about homeschooling is you can just need to be 1 day ahead or, a second ahead of your kids. And it's okay to, you don't need to know everything. It's a great lesson when you say, "Hey, I don't know that either. Let's go find out together." And then you can take them to a library or say, "Hey, Mr. Bill at church does this for a living. Let's go talk to him." And then you actually teach the kids how to wonder and how to go find out information and how to be humble and saying that you don't have to like know everything to go figure it out. And of course, you might not know how to teach high school biology, but you're not starting out at high school biology, right? You're starting out when they're younger and you're learning alongside them. And the great thing about homeschooling now is that there's just so many resources out there for families and for parents, designed by homeschoolers for homeschoolers. So, we've all gone through that anxiety at some point, and that's why it's good to homeschool in a group. But ultimately, I just call it the Wizard of Oz problem. Just like the Tin Man needed a heart, and the Straw Man needed a brain, and the Lion needed courage. They had it all the time. They just didn't know it because some outside influence didn't deem them having it. And so, parents in general, if you love your kids, being able to educate them, of course, it is hard work, but you are responsible for their education. Regardless, like if you send them off to public school or private school, at the end of the day, you are still going to be the one responsible. The schools are there to help you. And some of them do it better than others. Some of them actually end up doing the opposite, unfortunately. But hey, when your kid turns 18 or whatever, they're going to wash their hands of them and you're going to have to deal with those consequences. So I would just encourage parents, if you're not homeschooling, please stop thinking that someone else is responsible for your kid's education, because at the end of the day, you're the one who's going to be held responsible for it.
Robert, I love that. And as you were saying it, I got tingles. I agree with you. There's this thought that I think we as parents really need to take in, which that we, and I have this phrase, we are the CEOs of our children's education. In other words, the buck stops with us. Now, as a parent, you may decide to send them to a public school, but then you're right, you get the consequences of that choice. And it's very possible that the public school may or may not be teaching children. Your children, the things that you feel they need to know. You may decide to outschool to outsource it to a homeschooling group or keep it in-house homeschooling. You might do a private school, but you're right. I like how you said that. The buck stops with you. And one of the things that's really interesting is, I was talking to my brother, and he's got a graduate degree from an Ivy League school in education. He said, you know, one of the interesting things they found about education is the number of turns in a conversation is correlated with intelligence. In other words, when you and I go back and forth on this conversation, I'll say something and then you'll respond. That's one turn in the conversation. Well, if somebody come, if you know, my child comes to me and says, "Hey, Dad, I don't understand this," and you say, "Well, what don't you understand?" That was one turn. Well, the number of turns in a conversation apparently is at least correlated with intelligence. And you can have more turns in a conversation as a homeschooling parent in maybe 1 hour than they're going to get the whole day or maybe a whole week at school, at a public school, as they go back and forth. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, because you can actually be there and see them. And as you said, nobody had a degree on, I mean, I don't have a degree on teaching my kids to walk or talk. I love how you put that. But somehow they still learn these complicated things. Love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, from like neurological pathways, it makes a whole lot of sense that the deeper you dive into something, the more that you're forced to think about it, even if it's not necessarily fun in the moment to really dig down and formulate that is going to build up those neurons and electrons and everything firing so that you can have those harder conversations later and continue learning. And I know that I've seen different studies that show like people who learn how to do hard things and continue to do those hard things. And it's just a matter of, having those conversations over and over again. And for like homeschooling, I mean, they've got these new AI schools that they're trying to launch, and they're basically saying that, like, yeah, with the AI school, you only need 2 hours a day of actual learning, and then the rest of it, the children are able to pursue their, whatever their interests are. And so it's like, okay, homeschoolers on average, for years have been saying it only takes a couple hours a day to really educate someone. And so this is just kind of more revealing that when you have that, intimate education, that one-on-one education, that you're going to have better results. And so it doesn't really take a whole lot of time. It just takes a lot of time to institutions take time. Relationships can build these neurological pathways very quickly. And so I think that makes a lot of sense to me.
I love that. I also love what you said about the Wizard of Oz, that people already have it there. You say, somebody says, well, I need someone to go give me the stamp that says I can teach my kids. Well, you know what? Sometimes you can live life and teach your kids lessons as you live life. I mean, you could go to the grocery store and say, hey, what's the best price per ounce of cheese and make it into a math lesson,
Exactly.
you can,
Well,
be the humble, as you said, you can be humble and say, hey, I don't know the answer, but let's go find out. And then you teach them how to learn, right? Like, to be humble, go ask for help when you need it.
yeah, so I mean, like, think about it from like a business perspective. Like, they say like one person can manage about 8 people. Like 6 to 10 people is kind of the sweet spot for a manager. Now, these are professional people paid to be there, presumably with a degree. And you need one person managing 8. And so, like, my wife was a school teacher for 10 years in the public school system before we got married, and she saw 30 students 6 times a day. So she saw 180 students a day that she's supposed to be helping, educate. And so, she went on and got her master's degree as well. And when she started homeschooling, she realized that they never actually taught her how to pass on knowledge to anyone. All they really were teaching her was how to manage those classrooms because, there's no system, in humanity that there's no science behind those type of ratios. And so, yeah, it's absolutely imperative that parents are involved in their children's education. And if you do have to send them off somewhere to try to either deprogram them or at least engage them at night. But oftentimes you're worn down and they're worn down, and so it's hard to really have those conversations that you would like to have with them. So I think, in the end, parents, whether you're a, a Christian and believe God gave kids to you, or just an evolutionist and see that it's very clear that male and females get together and have kids, ultimately it is your responsibility. And so the more intentional you can be with it, the more you can guide it and control it. And one of the nice things is once your kids get older, like, what we kind of see in homeschooling is typically by the time your kids are 13 or 14 years old, they're doing 70 to 80% of the work almost by themselves. And now you're just a coach and mentor, and you help them to get unstuck. So when you get to those higher levels that people freak out about when their kid's 5 and really they just need to be teaching them how to read, is like, you're not even actually going to be teaching them those intimate details because there's going to be textbooks and videos and different classes they could take. What you're going to be doing is really coaching them along and becoming independent thinkers. And so that'd be another thing that I'd say is that it's like it's not as complicated as people want to make it out to be. It's only complicated if you put 30 kids in a classroom and have to change rooms every 55 minutes.
And let's talk about that for a second. You say your wife is a teacher. She had 180 students she'd see in one day. And from my understanding, the research shows that the best way to learn, like if you really wanted to learn something, if you could follow around the person who you wanted to be like and just learn from them. Like if let's say you wanted to be like a hedge fund manager. A hedge fund manager is probably the highest paid person in the world. Well, if you were to follow around a hedge fund manager for a couple of years, you'd probably learn really quickly what they do. Right now, the system would take you maybe 20 years because you'd have to go to a big school and you'd have to get your degree and you'd have to work your way up the corporate ladder. But if you could just follow that person around, you could learn very quickly how to be a hedge fund manager, probably in less time. I was talking to someone who was, we were discussing this, and as I was driving home after this discussion, it hit me. the best way to educate people has been around for thousands of years. It's called parenting, right? As parents, we actually get little people who follow us around all day long, and they're learning from us constantly, which is the good news and the bad news at some points. But I'm wondering, what I'd like to know from you is what advice, knowing this, what advice would you give to parents? Especially parents who, they might feel like they're struggling with work-life balance. How would you say that having a classical education can, how they could do that in spite of the fact that they have a busy schedule, they're trying to balance work and life?
So I mean, there's, one of the big things I see is like parents who are, in this kind of two income trap. And obviously, if both of you have 9 to 5 jobs and young kids, that's going to be very difficult to homeschool in that situation because the younger kids are going to need more of your time. But like one of the things my parents did, they both worked after I was born, but they actually worked opposite shifts. So I mean, that was a struggle, but until they could live on one income, that's what they did. And they were both aerospace engineers working for Boeing, so they weren't like I mean, this is white collar work. Yeah, I mean, I think homeschooling gives you so much more time back. I mean, just think about, this is one of the main reasons that I really loved being homeschooled, was because of the amount of time. And so there's, think about this. I mean, the average person's probably picking up the, if you're not riding the school bus, which is just wasting your kids' time, then you're picking them up and dropping them off, which you're going to spend, 30 minutes, 45 minutes maybe in the car every day, maybe more, right? If you want to go on vacation, you have to go get permission from some administrator at the school, or you'll be, delinquent or whatever they're going to call CPS on you or something like that. So when you're in one of these institutions, they dictate your schedule, and then they create citizens who are happy to have their schedules dictated by someone else. And so, one of the freeing things about homeschooling, especially now, like so many people are working from home and things like that, is there's so many more options to figure out how to homeschool. Maybe you have a grandparent that lives nearby or something if you're working from home during the day, or maybe, you're working at home 3 days a week and your husband's able to come home those other 2 days or whatnot. So there's ways around it, but it really makes your, we're not made to get up at 5 a.m., stand by a bus stop, get cereal way too early, then do homework late at night. Like that's just not lifestyles that are contributing to your health. And so many people think they're like so busy now, and if they're going to add on homeschooling to their life, that that's just going to add in time. But really, you're really going to be stripping back a lot of wasted time in your life and in your child's life, which is going to give them opportunities to pursue so much more. And so, I saw a meme the other day where this, mom or whatever, this single old lady was like, "I'm an executive at a big Fortune 500 company, and I don't have time for a kid." And then you've got this like, stay-at-home mom type person with like 5 kids. She's like, "Well, I'm raising 5 executives right now." And so it's just like, what is really going to be better for the world for you to, sit back and help, your family grow and be stronger? Or is it making somebody else rich who's going to forget about you the minute you retire, find a different job, or quit yours, right? So we're, I like the, what's the word? We're working jobs. We hate to buy stuff we don't need to impress people we don't like. I mean, so many
That's
people
right.
are kind of in that cycle.
And we need to break that having the nicest car, a few extra square feet, but neglecting our children is somehow more important, right?
So I saw a video the other day, and it makes sense to me. It's educating and raising children is not that expensive. It's institutionalizing kids that's very expensive. And they've actually, if you say, if you're making $125,000 as a couple, and one of you's making $75,000, the other of you's making $50,000, that by the time you pay for daycare, extra gas, extra car payments, like all of these things, that person who's making $50,000 a year, their net contribution to your family's bottom line is actually something like negative $7,000. So
In other words, they'd be better to stay home. Is that right?
they would be making more. That they would have more take-home pay with one $75,000 job than having a $75,000 job and a $50,000 job. So basically, if your second job, if there's two income earners in your household and the second person is making less than $60,000 a year and you have two kids or more, you would be taking, you'd actually have more disposable income with one income than with both of them. The second income is completely going to pay for other people to raise your kids, for second car payments, and for all the guilty things you have to spend money on because you're not spending time with your family.
Wow. Wow. Consider staying home. Let's talk about that. I love that. Consider staying home. Thanks for sharing that, Robert. It's better to quit your job. You'd have more money by quitting your job than by going to your job. Is that
Yeah,
what I'm
and more
hearing?
time with the people you love.
More time. I heard, let's go down two paths here. You talked about this, the business person who's working, and saying, I don't have time for kids, and the mom who's had five, I'm raising five executives. I think there was a study on McKinsey that said that most companies, even huge companies, the biggest companies in the world, like the S&P 500, will only last 18 years. So even if you and I decided to go out and build this company and we were ultra successful, on average, we probably wouldn't make it past a decade or two. And then you think about the influence that a mom has in guiding her children that lasts for centuries. I mean, I know that my mom died when I was 8 years old, and there are little tiny things she said that even today, nearly 40 years later, profoundly influenced me and my children who she never met. And I'm sure they'll influence for generations to come. So you're right. What's going to have the biggest impact? Being a boss babe or being a stay-at-home mom or a stay-at-home dad or a parent who's keyed into your kids, right?
Exactly. I mean, the generational impact is huge, and it's gonna pay off for generation after generation after generation. And so, yeah, you hear all these people are always trying to get out of the rat race, but so many families like jump into it and then wonder what's going on. And so, homeschooling is a great way. I mean, it really is. It's an alternative lifestyle. But when you start breaking down the numbers and the time, I mean, no one sits on their deathbed and goes, "I wish I had filled out one more TPS report. I'd wish I had stayed late to take one more call at work," right? They all wish they had spent more time with their family, had prioritized things differently. And yeah, I mean, we've prioritized the wrong things in TV and marketing and advertising, and say keeping up with the Joneses has all contributed to that. And so it's really important to for human flourishing in my mind is to try to figure out how to get out of that, get out of there as quickly as possible.
I love that. And is it true that you get about 16,000 hours more with your children if you homeschool them? Is that right? I don't know the exact hour amount. I heard that somewhere.
Yeah, 16,000 hours, I think, is the rough estimate with your kids. So it's kind of crazy because by the time your kids, like, if they're going to some institution or even if not, I think by the time they're 12, you've spent about 80%, 75, 80% of the time you'll spend with them the rest of your life because you think they're going to start getting jobs, start, going to college or, starting dating or, all those sorts of things. So it goes by very quickly, and I think was that there's that Adam Sandler movie Click or something. I think I was watched some of that this summer where he kept fast forwarding through the boring parts, and then he wakes up an old man. And of course, there's that the whole allegory is that's what we're doing as society now, and how many people are doing that. And so, yeah, you get 16,000 hours back with all of them, and they're little ewes rolling around, so you've definitely that can have some frustration because you see your negative aspects and things that you want to improve in your life in them, but it's also going to be eternally impactful. So I always like to say that you can raise your kids and enjoy your grandkids, or you can not raise your kids and raise your grandkids, and you can see that in so many different subcultures here in the United States where the grandparents are having to take care of their kids because they didn't do a good job raising their own children. And so yeah, it's the consequences, I said earlier, stops with you. Once they turn 18 or maybe 19, the systems no longer care about them, and you're left to pick up the parts or see it fly, see your child fly.
Wow. I love that. Thank you for sharing that. Robert, let me ask you a question. How does the, well, as you know, we're starting a father's movement across
Yeah.
across the world, across the nation, for parental rights. We want parents to realize that they are the ultimate authority in determining how their children are raised. And there's a little bit of a feeling in some areas where some people say, no, the government owns your kids and you're the parents, you're just the babysitters. And one of our movements is to say, hey, we're going to stand up against that. And so how do you see, the goals of classical conversations kind of aligning with this father's movement we've been talking about, where fathers can remain the primary leaders, parents can relate the primary leaders in their children's, development?
No, we're 100% aligned with that vision. We don't think the government has any natural or God-given authority over your kids, and any authority that they try to get you to delegate to them is also unnatural. And that's why we have so many problems now in the United States, is because we've had fathers delegate their responsibility to the government, but they didn't understand what they're actually delegating to them. And so classical conversations is going to be there. That's one of the things, like, people say us, oh, you're a homeschool company, you help kids. We actually don't help kids, we help parents, because we know that if the parents are empowered, if they're educated, if they know what to do, that they're going to do a great job educating their kids. And that's the bet that we're making, that if we help parents be what they ought to be, that they're going to do a great job raising their children. And of course, we're going to provide a great academic content for that. And our entire curriculum is around developed around leadership and building leaders. So really, that's something that dads love and enjoy. We see dads that are part of leading communities, being able to come in and see what their kids are learning, as well as I have my dad's guide to classical education. It's free that you can download at our Classical Conversations bookstore. That really talks about how classical education in general empowers you and your children. So think about, like, AI. Everyone's freaking out right now about AI and how it's going to destroy jobs, or what's it going to do for the job market. Well, AI is going to be utilized so well by those who are classically educated, because classical education teaches you to ask good questions and think logically, and be able to, like, look at situations to see what's true and what's not true. And those are the three skills you need to be able to utilize AI well in anything. And so these ancient arts that people poo-poo in the modern society are actually the exact thing that you need to be successful in this emerging economy that we're gonna, some experts are predicting will be coming sooner than later. So it really does, because of how classical education works, is because it's through questions, it's hands-on, it's something that dads can engage in, even if they're not the primary educator in their family, and really helps them empower their wife to be that COO of the house, and running the house very well, and looking at this whole family, whole home kind of vision that I think it's really the only thing that's going to be able to heal our country.
I love that. And you're right on the front line. 60 countries, 170 employees, 135,000 students. Wow. All since 1997. That's so awesome, Robert. For those parents who are listening to this, fathers, mothers, anyone who's interested, how can people get a hold of you, Robert,
Yeah,
and get involved with classical conversations? How can that happen?
so our classicalconversations.com, if you put in your zip code, we'll actually get a real human to talk to you. They'll follow up and answer any questions that you have and help you get plugged in with the community and tell you about resources available for homeschoolers in your area. So that's classicalconversations.com. You can go to, I have a podcast weekly, Refining Rhetoric. You can find that where any podcasts are found. And then I'm on X a lot, the Robert B. Show on X. Would love to connect with you there. And yeah, I think until fathers return their heart to their children and start leading their families well, we're going to be in trouble in this country. And I appreciate everything you're doing to lead this movement of dads taking their responsibility, because you might think you can outsource it, but I'm telling you, you can't.
It's whether you outsource it or not, you're still responsible as a father for your kid's education, right? So choose wisely. Great. Is there anything else do you want to share with our, I mean, if there was one thing that you would share with parents today that you feel is important, what would that be, Robert?
Yeah, I mean, I think I already kind of alluded to it earlier with the, you already have what you need to homeschool. You already have what you need to educate, and that responsibility is a blessing. It's not easy, but it's worth it. Very few things in this world that are easy are worth it, and it's the hard things that make us stronger and make our family stronger. And so, homeschooling is a wonderful path. There's so many blessings to it. And it'll definitely bless your family and your grandchildren and your community around you. So don't be afraid to jump in with both feet and start homeschooling today.
Thank you, Robert. Robert Borton's again. We're going to have his contact information in the show notes for those of you who are driving or otherwise need to look at the notes later. Thank you so much, Robert, for being on the show with us today. Appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you so much. God bless.